When you hear that school bell, you know it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and what a great way to study the Bible over the radio. And so I hope you'll go get your Bible if you can. If you're driving, you could simply listen, but otherwise you may want to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2. We're studying a Sunday school lesson that was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of May the 15th, 1927. And in just a moment, I'm going to read the first four verses of Acts chapter 2 and study the preparation that the teacher is to make before he was to teach this Sunday school lesson. It's a section of these lessons called Helps and Hints for the Teacher. So while you're turning to the book of Acts, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now with that, let me read to you the first four verses of Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, had told those apostles to go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit that he would send unto them. And then we see now that the Spirit came and the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting to note that it is Jesus that baptized them in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is never a command. It is always a promise, and it was given and bestowed. The administrator of that baptism was Jesus himself, and it was a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon these men that they might serve as the apostles. Now it says they were all gathered together in one place. In Acts chapter 1, we read they were gathered together in an upper room. And so reading Acts chapter 2 and 1 together, we would get the impression that they were gathered together in that upper room. But if you go back and read Luke chapter 24 and verse 53, the very last words of the book of Luke, it says they were continually in the temple blessing God. And so when you put the larger context together of Acts, of Luke chapter 24 and the book of Acts, I'm of the conclusion that they were not all in the upper room when they were baptized of the Holy Spirit, but that they were in the temple itself. And there's so many things that seem to make that fitting and appropriate. One thing is how this was noised abroad and how many people came together and heard the apostles preaching, and they baptized 3,000. Now, I know all of that did not take place in the upper room, but there would have been room for all of that to occur in the temple grounds. It says the day of Pentecost came, and suddenly there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. That means this came in an unexpected way. The sound was of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. You can well imagine that filling all those temple grounds. Imagine being there and hearing that sound, not feeling the wind, but hearing the sound of the wind. So often the Holy Spirit is associated with wind in the Bible, and indeed the very word spirit from the Greek, is translated spirit, has two meanings, both spirit and wind. This sound, no doubt, was to attract attention. After hearing this sound, the multitude came together. The multitude, therefore, were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was the apostles. The tongues were not fire, but they were like as a fire. They did not have the consuming properties of fire. I've seen pictures where it looked like the men are sitting around with little tongues on their heads like candles, but the text says that the fire came down and divided itself among them and sat on them. I imagine these men looked like they were on fire. And I'm reminded of that burning bush that Moses saw in the wilderness and went by to see. He was curious, for it was burning, but it was not consumed. And so also these men on this great day. And as the sound was heard, and the flame-like tongues appeared, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. And before this, others before this had received the Spirit and had spoken by it. We read about that prophet speaking by the Spirit. But now the apostles had it and worked miracles. But that was not called the baptism of the Spirit. Such was the power of the Spirit on this occasion with the apostles that it was called a baptism, an overwhelming. The sound filled the house. Tongues sat on the apostles. The Spirit filled them. It was not a slight manifestation like sprinkling, but such an outpouring and overwhelming of the Spirit that the apostles were said to be baptized in it. The Spirit took possession of their mental and spiritual faculties, controlled and directed their speech. The Spirit spoke through them, or they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were the mouthpieces of God, who spoke by the Spirit through them. What they said, God said. Some have supposed that God gave man divine and spiritual and lofty thoughts, and that the apostles put these thoughts into their own language, in their own words, but this could not have been their own words on this occasion, because they were not even speaking their own language. The tongues parted and distributed themselves among the apostles and set on each of them, one to the apostle. These tongues indicated how the Spirit would do His work, that He would speak, and that He would speak through the apostles, and that He would speak a language which all who spoke that language could understand. Other tongues means languages other than their own. But still, intelligent language. It was not just a nonsensical babble that some people speak when they claim to speak in tongues, but this was an intelligent language that others who spoke that language were able to understand. Jesus promised that the Spirit would speak, and would speak the words of God, John 16:13-14. To understand that the Spirit speak to us now through the inspired apostles and other inspired writers of the Bible will help us much to understand how the Spirit enlightens, convicts, converts, and leads sinners to salvation and does His work. Jesus promised that the Spirit would do certain things. One, He would teach the apostles and bring all things to their remembrance whatsoever He said unto them, John 14:26. Two, He would guide them into all truth and declare unto them the will of God, John 16:12-14. Three, He would comfort them. This is the Comforter, who would abide with the apostles and the Israel of God forever, John 14:16-18. He is called the Spirit of Truth, through the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. Ye know Him, for He abideth with you, and shall be in you, John 14:17. for, the Spirit would bear witness of the truth, John 15:26. 5. The Spirit would do for the world the following. He would convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and ye behold me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. John 16:8-11. 6. Let particular notice be given to Jesus declaring concerning the world's not receiving the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. The world of which the devil is prince cannot receive the Spirit of God. It is filled with and ruled by another spirit. There are today two spirits, the Spirit of God and the spirit of this world. There are two institutions, the church or the kingdom of God of which Jesus is head, and the world of which Satan is the prince and ruler. God fills the church, his kingdom, but not the world. God does not put his spirit into the world. The church cannot have the spirit of the world. The world does not recognize and does not know the Holy Spirit. 7. The Spirit would not come in this power until Jesus went away. Then Jesus would send him. John 16:7. 8. Pentecost was the right time. Jesus had gone away. The right persons, the apostles, not the world, were present. They were in the right place, in Jerusalem. Luke 24:49. 9. For the above reasons, the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. This power qualified them to their future work. 10. Then there's another reason. When Moses had set up the tabernacle and placed everything in it according to the pattern, Hebrews 8:5, which God had given him, God filled it with his glory, Exodus 40:33-35. So he filled the temple and accepted it when Solomon had finished it according to his divine plan. 2 Chronicles 7:1-3. When Jesus had prepared living stones for his spiritual temple and had finished his work, God sent his Spirit at the right time and place and accepted and filled it with the presence of his glory. Ephesians 2:19-22. The Spirit did for the apostles and the world all that was promised. Let me read that text to you. Ephesians 2:19-22. So then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but ye are fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. And I want to read also, if you'll follow with me, Ephesians 3:14-21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that ye may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Come back to our next class.